And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts sang, "Come and see." And I saw a little old and white horse. There's a man going around taking names. And he decides who's a free and who's a lame. Everybody will be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down. When the man comes around, the hairs on your arm will stand up. At the terror in each step and in each step. So you portray to that last officer or disappear into the monastery when the man comes back. Here the troopers, here the fighters. One would not have been able to change the same. The virgins are all trimming their wigs.
Well, greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you aboard tonight. Praise Yahweh. And we got a good program lined up for you tonight. We're going right into the message, Praise Yahweh. And we hope and trust that you'll be blessed as a result of our going into the message. We're going to talk about part two of the Great Red Dragon, the money trail. We're going to follow the money trail. And really, ladies and gentlemen, if you really want to know the truth, the Great Red Dragon is made up of power-based gold and silver and precious things, according to the 17th chapter of the book of Revelations. In her cup runneth over today, because the world loves money. Now, money, if you simplify money, money is the reason that the world turns, because the world loves money. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, and unholy. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's something wrong with someone that loves money. It's the root of all evil. Now, let's find out who loves money. The Bible tells you so. If you really want to be specific and get it down to a classification of people that love money. In Luke chapter 16, verse 14, now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all the things and were scoffing at him, the Messiah. So the Pharisees are lovers of money. Now, what's he say? Beware of the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, the scribes and the Pharisees work together to deceive the very elect. And who would love the great red dragon, the whore, and the system that she creates for the love of money? Well, it just tells you here in Luke 16:14 that the Pharisees were lovers of money. So now you'll know exactly where money or the bulk of money is stored. If you look at the United States as a world power based on gold, and as the old saying goes, gold rules the world, money is one of the shatteringly simplifying ideals of all time. It creates its own revolution. And the thing that differentiates man from animals, the only thing that can be collectively thought of that differentiates man from animals is money. And of course, the love of money is the root of all evil. If you find evil, you'll know that money dwells nearby. And if you pull it up by the roots, you're going to find the Pharisees and the international banking system in lockstep, if you will, marching down through the annals of time. Now listen to this now. The last conflict is at hand, in which a civilization receives its conclusive form, and the conflict will be between money and blood. Now, I prophesied that for several years, but let me give that to you again so that you can remember what Pastor Buddy said. What's coming up on the world scene is the final conflict between money and blood. Those that have the money must order blood for the sanctification. In other words, blood money is what I'm talking about. And that's Satan's power. Now, I want to go to Ezekiel for you that are taking notes and following Pastor Buddy tonight in the great red dragon and searching for the trail of power. Where you find power, you'll find money. And when you find money, you'll find evil. No wonder the world is in perilous times today. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 13. He who lends money on interest and takes increase, will he live? He will not live. He has committed all these abominations, and he will surely be put to death. His blood will be upon his head. Now, those that order blood to bring about world dominion, international banking, wars, has been financed from both sides to get bloodshed. And Satan, who came to kill, steal, and destroy, is the very one that is making this giant, great red dragon, if you will, a part of the last day, final conflict between money and blood. He who lends money on interest and takes increase, will he live? He will not live. What an indictment against the money changers. Well, what's the money changers, Pastor Buddy? Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 21 and verse 12, and I'll give you a rendering of what the Messiah 2,000 years ago thought about those who lent money on interest. It actually happened, by the way, in the temple that they called the temple of Yahweh. But was it? Let's find out. And it says the Messiah, Yahushua, Jesus in the English Bible, entered the temple and drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple. Listen to this. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. That's incredible. The Messiah entered the temple, drove out all those who were buying and selling. Sounds like Wall Street, doesn't it? The great international temple of deception that demands blood to feed its appetite. They wanted blood. They lusted for blood. They drank blood. They demanded blood as a sacrifice to make large sums of money by creating man against man. And ladies and gentlemen, the last two wars I prophesied coming up on the stage, on the world scene, is the pretext for the pretense of beginning the final war that was prophesied 100 years ago, that there would be three world wars. We've done that too. We've had skirmishes in between to, you know, to keep the machine from rusting down and keeping all the materials and things in good standing and trying out certain weapons of mass destruction against societies as we go about our society of baby killing, killing all the babies in the mother's wombs as they pinch their heads off and pull them through the birthing canal in a stillborn mode. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands are killed in this manner, not to mention wars like Iraq. I prophesied when they went in, they dig blood in the sand. You know why? Because money is coming down to the final conflict. This is a prelude to entering into a land of contract. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, did you know that the Arab nations that America and the British Crown and other nations joining for the sake of money, the lovers of money. Now, the Pharisees were lovers of money. Is it because that the Pharisees have demanded that these large armies operating by the wealth of those who have 97% of the wealth, that they are willing to sacrifice the lives of our sons when they keep their sons in Harvard and Rhodes and places like this to protect them from the war? They don't give their blood. You see, a snake doesn't really bleed a whole lot. Sheep bleed. Dumb sheep who are being used by the Pharisee snakes, the lovers of money, that are sending our boys to war, and it's going to intensify. It's not going to decrease. Get it out of your mind that we're coming home. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of gallons of blood before the final Third World War is waged upon the earth between money and blood. Those that have the money will demand the blood. And blood will be exacted and sacrificed for those who love money to actually cover up their guilt or to rid the world of the filth or the gullium, as they describe those who they wage war intensely against. Now, how do you do that? Well, the order of the day is to divide and conquer. For the love of money is the root of all evil, and those that would divide to conquer would seek to rule with all of the wealth. Now, let me give you an example. Bankers are just like anyone else. International bankers, we're talking about large sums of money, and I'm going to get into that just in a moment. But bankers are just like anyone else, except they're a lot richer. And repeat that, 97% of the wealth are held by the international banking system that control that controls the world. Many would agree with me on this statement I'm fixing to make here. Money ranks as the primary material with which mankind builds the architecture of civilization. Money. Now, those who control the money are those that have a love for the money, and I then told you that now the Pharisees were lovers of money. It doesn't invite or indict anyone else but the Pharisees. Now, if I was to go in and do a show on the Pharisees, I've done it before to tell you who they are and what they're about, where they're at, how they've embedded themselves. Really, with the stealth technology of Satan, for the serpents to go into the high places. You remember, the Pharisees, they loved the chief seats, even in the days of the Messiah. Now, Babylon has been along. It's a devised system. It's a substitute system. When the wicked rule, the righteous are persecuted. Now, Babylon has been in rule since the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis when Nimrod devised the system to place societies under strict slavery acts by confiscating all the money, just like Roosevelt done in 1933 when he passed the law to confiscate all of the money in the world. Now, what would you think that all the... What is money? I mean, is paper, is like Federal Reserve notes. Do you think that's money? Is that real money? No, it's not. But they have the power through paper to purchase gold. They have executive orders from the president, like in 1933 when Roosevelt passed this little law that confiscated or made it illegal for anyone to hoard or possess gold beyond the boundaries of the law that was stated. This was very little. So most of the gold was taken up and it was put in to the hands of the money changers as a guarantee, as they use fiat money now to substitute for the real gold, because gold is cumbersome, it's hard to deal with, it's very valuable. And so they want to keep their hands on the real just rates and measures of exchange and created a fiat money, if you will, a money that is worthless. But money, regardless of the worthiness or the unworthiness of it, if they can convince you to have faith in the system, and you bargain with money, barter with money, then money becomes the lifeblood of the nation. And that's exactly what's going on here today. But the trouble with paper money, I want to talk about that, it's that it rewards the few that can make fools of the many. Now, let me repeat that for you, because that's worth listening to again. The trouble with paper money, Federal Reserve notes in this case that I'm talking about, because I'm bringing it home to you down where we live, it's that it rewards the few. Now, I said that 97% of the real value wealth, not the paper money now, because they know that's worthless anyway, because they could change it or devalue it overnight. It would be worth, a wheelbarrow full of $100 bills wouldn't be worth a pack of cigarettes if it was to lose its value trust to a point that it was devalued to the worthiness or the unworthiness of its value. So you have to have faith in the system. But paper money only rewards the few that can fool the many. And we've been fooled, ladies and gentlemen. We've been made fools of repeatedly. And as it says, he that lends money on interest and takes increase, will he live? He will not live. It is a committed abomination. And he will surely be put to death. His blood not their blood. Remember, they caused the world wars, these international systems of love of money. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And some who have longed or go longing for it have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. Not many rich men will be able to enter in because they have violated Ezekiel. I want you to write it down. 18:13. He that lends money on interest and takes increase, yet he goes to the Sunday school class and he puts in a few coins, coppers probably, that while he counts the gold in the temples of treasure. Remember the Bible says in the book of James that they've heaped together with, this is in 5:3, it says, your gold and your silver have rusted, and the rust will be a witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last days that you have stored up your treasures for certain curses. Your gold and silver has rusted. Now, we know that gold and silver don't rust. But have they left it in these treasure houses? Have they gathered it up in vain? Did you know that the Bible said that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the treasures to become of the righteous? Did you know that the righteous are going to inherit the earth and all the treasures? 2 Timothy 3:2 said, for men will be lovers of self and lovers of money. Now, who is that? That's those who are Pharisees and scribes, and those who have been deceived or enticed to run after or to make love with money. For men will be lovers of money. 2 Timothy 3:2. But the gold and silver will be a witness against those who violate Ezekiel 18:13. Now, let's go a little bit further in this. Let's look at our monetary system of guarantee. Did you know that our Federal Reserve notes are not as most people think? That the Federal Reserve notes are not guaranteed by any gold whatsoever, or silver for that matter? I repeat that. Not 1 cent of a Federal Reserve note, for whatever worthiness it is backed by money. Mr. Nixon saw to that in 1971-72 era, when he took away the gold value backed money and floated money out there on its own and let it take its faith step to circulate in the system of monetary gain. Fort Knox has 4,600 tons of gold. Let me repeat that. Fort Knox has 4,600 tons of gold, or at least that's what you're told on the books. Now, we'll talk about more about that later. You see, deception for money. Those that love money would deceive the very elect. There's two sets of books that the government always keeps. This is not checks and balances. It's one for the consumption of the public who inquire. And the other set of books is for their eyes only. Now, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, remember, Fort Knox has 4,600 tons, 4,600 tons of gold, supposedly, with a net worth of somewhere around $65 billion. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that wouldn't begin to cover one minute part of the national debt if we were called on to pay in real money the debt that we've incurred under the Federal Reserve System. Now, why would they want to accumulate such large debt? We go back to the law of usury. And here's where they make their money. They don't make their money on you paying the debt, because in usury, there is no money allotted in self-worth for usury. He that lends money on interest and takes an increase will not live. It's an abomination to lend money to your brother for usury. Now that is an incredible. No wonder the rich, not many rich, no wonder he was talking about. In West Point, there's 1,368 tons of gold stored at West Point. I didn't know that there was even any gold in West Point. Well, for that matter, I don't know whether there's any at Fort Knox, which is the primary depository, if you will, built in 40s. Anyway, it was built at a cost of about $500,000, believe it or not, at that day. And now it is reinforced concrete and steel. But is there any, have you seen any gold in Fort Knox lately? Or is the gold stored in the federal depositories in cities like London and Bonn and in New York? As all of the vaults, like, if you would really know the amount of gold that's stored, for instance, in Manhattan, down 80 feet below, in the bedrock, there is vaults that are built to house most of the trading nations' money. And it's all demanded exact in gold. Now, who owns this? Those who have claim to lay claim against nations of prosperity. They demand a debt load of usury to be paid back. Now, the United States of America is just one example. We could cite other nations, but we'll stay here at home for a moment. The United States of America owes trillions of dollars, not billions now, trillions, in a national debt scheme that has reaped the cream of the materials of our gold and silver and our materials, if you will, into the hands of a few, collecting debt on usury. And usury taken on interest and increasing, those who do so. Now listen to me, Israel, and those of you who are participating in this illegal scheme of usury. You are not going to live according to Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 13. Now, by doing so, he will surely be put to death and his blood will be on his hand. You say, well, you know, I don't ever see him being put to death. Well, you see, the last chapter hasn't been written yet. Although in the last days, we're fulfilling the signs with the Pharisees and the lovers of money who seek after it. They work day and night. Money runs the world. For the love of money is the root of all evil, and evil runs the world. But those that have wandered away from the faith and been involved in this lusting for money will pierce themselves with many griefs before it's over with. Those in the context of handling usury money are under a curse. Now, I'm going to show you in Zechariah chapter 5, verse 3, that this curse is genuine. And it's written and recorded on a scroll that was hid in the earth. And at the proper time, this curse will become activated and it will go against the wicked who have lent their money for interest and drawed, if you will, unjust wages. It's stealing. Listen to the scripture. Then he said unto me, this is the angel talking to Zechariah, this is the curse that is going forth over the face of the whole land. Surely everyone who steals will be purged away according to the writing on the scroll. And everyone who swears in this curse will be purged away according to the writing on the opposite side. So there's a double-edged sword. No, I'd like to get in and teach a little bit on the consequences of unjust money that has been brought in to be a witness against those who have devised through sorcery. The greatest sorcerers in the world are they that love money. I'll repeat this. You've been told. Many to make a fool of you. You know, the Bible said that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, but the international currency of the international banking system, which is a paper money, which in a sense, when money stands still, it is no longer money. Now listen to me again. When money stands still, you talked about time standing still is insert money. When money stands still, you can rest assured it's no longer money. And the day will come that money will fail. The word is in the book of Genesis, if you will, at the time of the Egyptian nightmare when money failed. People were at the mercy of the government. And ladies and gentlemen, not long when people have their money, the federal notes, in the banking system with the trust in it, when the trust is gone out of the money will fail. And when it does, you're going to be left holding a bunch of worthless paper. Gold never loses its value because it's based on just weights and measures and is a measurement of honesty and integrity through the law of Yahweh. Did you know that the United States of America, on the books now, I'm going to repeat this, on the books, that they have a total of 8,000 tons of gold that was demanded. Now, let me tell you what they got most of this gold for. $35 an ounce. The next year, after they confiscated all the gold, they devalued the dollar. And the value dropped 40% of the investment. In other words, people only got 40% of a net worth of the gold through devaluation. That's how tricky your government is. Now, when they confiscated all the gold, it began to total around somewhere in round figures around 8,000 tons. This was supposed to have been put on hold to guarantee the Federal Reserve note. Ladies and gentlemen, that was a joke from the word go. That only covers $130 billion of net worth money at the day standard. $130 billion is all the United States value has in gold if it's there on the books. And if it's there, it's there because they say it's there, not because it really is. I'm not saying that our government is dishonest, but very few people ever have given account. I know men that have actually hazarded their life working within the system of accounting and auditing departments that says that there is literally, now listen to this, there's not millions of dollars that's misappropriated and leaked through the system and falls through the cracks. There's not billions of dollars that falls through the crack of this interest taking increase. But there's literally trillions of dollars that disappears into the hands of the rich under this system of debt accumulated through borrowing money. You see, when Congress will not appropriate money, presidents, under the pretense of fighting a war or other reasons for doing this, they borrow money against the word or the name of their government. And for this cause, we are now billions plus trillions of dollars in debt, and that is nothing but money that is made from usury. Now, if you want to look at a scripture, I would suggest that you go to Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 3. I'm not going to read it to you, but I'm going to tell you that it will cover in context, or put everything within context of what I've said so far. Isaiah 52, verse 3. Now, let's go back to the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 20, when Simon the sorcerer was trying to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we could compare that with just weights and measures. And he offered them money, and here was the reply of Philip and the apostles, Peter, James, and John, who had gone down to preach the gospel and encountered this demonic Pharisee. They said, when he offered them money for the gift of the Creator, your money will perish with you. Now, what does he mean by that? He means that he was using an unjust weight to try to purchase, if you will, probably some coins of Caesar or something of that matter that had no value. And they said, your money perishes with you. Now listen to this quote. Money, not morality, is the principle of commerce of the nations. Now let me repeat that. Money, not morality, is the principle of commerce among the nations. Make money. Money by fair means if you can, if not by any means, money. That's worth repeating again for your ears, and I hope that you're listening to me tonight, and that you will begin to consider putting your money into real money. Do it while you can convert Federal Reserve notes to real money. That is, just weights and measures of silver and gold. It's the only exchange of just weights and measures. It never, never, never loses its value based against demand. If you have gold, it will always certainly, most certainly, be worth something. Then there's the old adage, well, if a man has gold and another man has guns, guess who has the money? And so far, force, domination, confiscation of all the gold, it was all of a sudden illegal. And ladies and gentlemen, did you know that at this time, most people would begin to be affluent in 1933 when the law was passed to confiscate all the gold? And through the 40s, when they began to enact this, that they brought all of those who escaped Germany and other nations involved in the war, they fled to America thinking that they could bring their gold and their precious silver and be safe. Well, guess who caught them here? The Pharisee, the lover of money. And ladies and gentlemen, we have been in a quagmire and no money. No wonder that they said, the apostles, your money perishes with you. Did you know that Mr. Nixon followed the example by bringing back, if you will, this is another divided house, when he got in dire straits trying to finance the Vietnam War, who the popular opinion of the people
turned against him, and he couldn't even beg, borrow, or steal money from any country to finance the war and continue. So in the dilemma to get out of it, he enacted a law that would allow you once again to own gold. So there's no law against you owning gold today. You can own as much gold, but you can rest assured that the IRS will monitor your purchases. And in certain instances, there's a way to circumvent the IRS from nosing into your business. I'm not giving you a permission or suggesting that you avoid paying your taxes, because the Bible says that you render unto Caesar's. Now, if it's a just way to Caesar, render it to be so. If not, take your possessions, and you need to write or call Pastor Buddy. Well, I don't know that you need to call, but you really need to talk to me about the ability to learn how to properly store your values. And I'm not suggesting a bank vault somewhere down on Wall Street. When money fails, that system will collapse within itself, and the Bible says that the day will come that Babylon will fall. And it will be a great fall, and money will fail. And maybe, just maybe, that Babylon is planning its own demise. Have you ever thought about that? Is it the Father who's going to bring Babylon down, or will Babylon be built to such a point that it's just like a volcano? It has to blow its top to relieve the pressure that's coming. Did you know that people, more and more people, are waking up to the Federal Reserve trickery and deceit and this debt that has been incurred upon the nation to rob it of all of its assets and valuables, is a debt that is unjust because it's taken through interest, and interest can never be repaid. I'm going to repeat this. All of the money that's created, if you create $1,000, then the $1,000 is all of the money that goes into circulation. If there is an interest incurred upon the $1,000, then that money has to come from some other source. So what they do, they rob you in just weights. And they take the value of your money and turn it into a debt incurred through interest, which is a violation of Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 13. So you don't want to get caught up in the usury scheme of international bankery. I'm telling you, you talk about thieves and witchcraft and sorcery. It is one of the most awesome plans of deception that was ever unleashed upon the many to support the few. It's like a parasite. A parasite that gets in and leaches into your major organs. Matter of fact, I read of a young child that had worms, and this worm grew to the point that it got so big that it wormed its way into the brain of the child and literally ate its brains out. It was a tapeworm. And I think it was measuring somewhere around 3 to 4 foot when they extracted it or to look at the cause of death. It was a tapeworm. Well, usury is just like a tapeworm that's eating the mind or the brain of the unsuspecting sheeple alive. And it's those that love money and look at your Messiah went and overturned the tables of the money changers. Now, I'll ask you a question. Why was the money changer sitting at the tables? This was banking executives, if you will. Money changers sitting at the tables and the seats of those who were sitting there. They were exchanging money for usury. They were making money on lending money. In other words, if you needed change, they would charge you for changing your money. Ladies and gentlemen, then the value of the money that you gave was less than the value returned because they siphoned off, if you will, usury, which was against Yahweh's laws. No wonder he got enraged, and no wonder he overturned the tables of the money changers. It's going on today in a evil system that is long overdue to fall. When more and more people wake up to the international... Now, if you really want to know why that this has become so popular, the international banking system has prospered mightily under, if you will, under the guise of lending money. And so the money changer exchange has only got greater. And by getting greater, the international money system has turned itself into such a force that there is no power known on earth that can withstand the power of those who have the wealth. Now, if you don't believe that, you try to make war with the beast. And the Bible says this giant red dragon called the beast power is nothing but a bunch of communistic usury takers who have entered in deceitfully, unaware. The Bible says that they'll come in unaware. And they have actually turned the world into nothing more than a whore that is riding on the international scheme of sorcery and usury taking. Ladies and gentlemen, it is one of the most corrupt of all of the systems designed in the world to rob the innocent, the naive, and the unsuspecting into giving up their treasures through debt of international exacting of usury. It is a sin to involve yourself in the system. I'm going to repeat this now. This is getting down to where it's going to hurt. It is a sin. It is, as my brothers would say that are experts in this field, it is an abomination. And that word abomination is embedded in the text of Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 13. 18, verse 13 is the embedment of the law of usury. You shouldn't, it's an abomination. How much more sober do you need to be to realize that if you're involved in a system that charges usury, if you're partakers of her sin, when the Bible says, come out from among her and be not partakers of her sins, and this abomination of usury has reached so far into the heavens that the Father has determined that the end is in sight. And ladies and gentlemen, Satan knew it also. Did you know I said last week that Satan knows that he has but a short time? A short time? For thus saith Yahweh, you have sold yourselves for naught. We have sold ourselves to the international slavery system of the few to fleece the many. But listen to what he says. You sold yourself for naught, but you shall be redeemed without money. You shall be redeemed without money. Do you think that is possible? Do you believe that there's a way to defeat the sorcery of the intention of Satan when Satan himself knows that he's got a short time to work and that his time is almost expired on the universal clock of time? Don't you know that we are now down to the final Armageddon battle, where those who demanded the exacting of blood for a usury payment? You see, we're fighting now for debt. We're saddled with debt every time that you go and make a payment to the utility company. when there is, if you will, technology to free you from the slavery of the utility systems of the world. Did you know that there's machines now that are ready to go if the utility government systems of the world would relent and quit persecuting, killing, stealing, and destroying those who bring the invention. See, the knowledge is here to live, if you will, free from debt. But the international system brought on by the lust and the desire of the few to rule over the many will not permit it, because now they're in the treasury houses. And as our forefathers warned us, if we let these Pharisees in, these lovers of money, that they will worm their way into, as the cankerworm is described in the Bible. And I gave you an example of a tapeworm going from the very heart of Israel, or the people of the United States, and worming its way into the brain or into the mind of the people that have no idea that they're being literally consumed with the debt of usury, and that they're slaves to the wheel, as Samson was to the grinding of the grain. Blind Israel was himself grinding there for the final battle. We're heading down. The wheels of justice in the heavens are now being set for atonement. They wanted blood, and the Father's going to give blood. We're heading for the final. And I predict this on the world scene. Live tonight on WWCR 5070. It's the Jewel of the South, been broadcasting for years as the premier transmission company for the radio listeners. It's the Cadillac of the industry, as I call it. So you need to stay tuned to Pastor Buddy and WWCR for the final conclusion. The next two messages are going to get very intensified in intensity. We're going to take it to another level. We're going to expose those who would fleece the flock. Luke 16:14 again says the Pharisees were lovers of money. Well, ladies and gentlemen, do you know that in the United States of America alone, that you meet people on the street that really love money? Did you know that the world turns on money, the lust of money, the lure of money? And did you know that the Bible speaks against that? It says, seek not the things that the Gentiles seek after, but seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things that they seek after will be added unto you. And the old proverb, that which you pursue will run from you, and that which you run from will pursue you. Don't seek it and you'll get it. Quit seeking money. Do not make money your God. That's Satan. You will become boastful. You know, see, not many proud, noble, or rich people are called into, because the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:2 that you will turn yourself, if you have money, you'll become a lover of yourself. You'll think some great, like, you know, Solomon. You know, he was given riches, and it was a little 90-pound, soaking wet probably, 36:24-36, that turned his heart away from the Creator, because he enjoyed the power of money to have people, to buy people, to come. Probably the women loathed him. He probably didn't even have a good personality. He's probably boastful and arrogant. He was probably using them. And they probably knew it, because, you know, once you sell your soul for money, you feel like a tramp or a prostitute. And that's exactly what Satan will make out of you if you love money. Well, my time is come and gone for part two on WWCR 5070. Going around the world tonight with Pastor Buddy, and we appreciate your listening. We appreciate your response. We appreciate if you agree with what we say, to support our teachings that will free those from the love of money, being content, as it says in Hebrews 13:5. Let me give you the New American Standard Version of Hebrews 13:5. It's not out of King James, but this makes good sense. I love the way it says it. It says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, or I will never forsake you. Yahweh is there on time, and he will provide the needs that you have if you will have faith. Now, let me give you Dr. Gary's telephone number tonight. That's 1-877-289-7439. That's Dr. Gary. 1-877-289-7439. If you'd like to pledge support to the Shepherd's Call, you can do that. If you'd like to write Pastor Buddy, you can simply do that tonight by writing Pastor Buddy, Post Office 2284, Post Office Box 2284, and the zip is 37824 in New Tazewell, Tennessee. Again, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Let's see, 37824. Now, if you'd like to call me tonight, I'm live. And we are on the third day of July. Now, tomorrow will be a big celebration of the origination of the birthday of America. And yet we walk among men that are lovers of self, lovers of money, charging usury, and going to worship the God of Mammon rather than the God of creation. For he will turn them over to reprobate minds to believe a lie and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Don't fall into that sorcery scheme of becoming a lover of money. You can certainly take it with you. Those that you leave it behind will probably misuse it. So everything that you've gathered up is being laid up for the fools, and they will eventually get your money. They'll tax you right down to your grave and then tax your grave you later. Well, call me tonight. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, to write me. The zip 37824, New Tazewell, Tennessee. I'll get the address right. That's New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. If you'd like to call me, area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. You don't want to miss part three of the Great Red Dragon. This dragon has propelled itself into a seat of authority. It rides upon the back of international a pharisaical system that is designed to love money. Out of thin air, they create debt and take your just weights and measures. All of the gold is being gathered up in the last days for the righteous. Hang on. Don't give up. Wait for the marching orders of the roll of the scroll that came down to Zechariah and put a curse on all those that lent money on interest to get increase. Will he live? He shall not live, saith Yahweh. And that is a promise that will go beyond everything that you've ever been told. We'll see you next Sunday night at 8 o'clock on The Mighty Voice, the Cadillac, the premier station, WWCR 50, where you'll hear the Shepherd's Call and Pastor Buddy. Yahweh bless you. Amen.